Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But I can tell you this. If there is any hope of surviving, we must stand against the darkness.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rogue Rebels Podcast. I am your host, Sal, along with your other host, Axel.
Servants of the Empire.
Sir, you are so far away from the mic. We talked about this. No! Just go.
Servants of the Empire.
It is a great book series. I'm glad you're getting into it. Although, I think, did I read these to you when you were little?
Probably, but I didn't pay attention.
That's fair. We're not here to talk about Servants of the Empire books, though.
But, want to know what I did? I relearned how to read.
That's good. That's great.
So basically, I could read books, but I would just read the words, then they wouldn't go into my brain because the book was boring.
Right,
so
right.
I started reading interesting books, like Star Wars books.
Okay. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
Like, look, I'm almost to the middle of it.
No, I understand that, but...
I remember what happened.
That's cool.
That's cool, right?
But... we're not here to talk about books.
But I've never been able to do that before. Isn't that so amazing?
I'm so glad that Servants of the Empire has ushered you into a new age of comprehension.
I know.
And
like,
reading comprehension. But we're here to talk about Jedi Survivor.
Right, but you don't remember what happened after this? After I got back into reading, we bought like a bunch of books. I got a Norse mythology book.
Oh yeah, we did.
I got like a
Well, that's because Target has a buy two, get one free. And that's when that happens, I stock up on my graphic novels, and then I go and I sell my comic. It's a whole thing. We're not going to get into it right now, because we're here to talk about Jedi Survivor, and I have a guest
who's
waiting very patiently as we talk about books that we led and the growth of my son. I have with me a podcasting, long-standing homie, Randy Laguduce from The Sith List. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Glad to be here.
Randy's
Is that how the mic works?
That's he's doing the thing that you did. See what you see what's happening here?
It's a bit now.
It's a bit. You got to respect the bit.
Glad to be here.
Dude,
I'm excited about the books, man.
We're in person. You know what?
Yeah, this doesn't happen too often.
In-person podcasting.
I know, right? It used to be a staple of
it was it was a staple of the industry.
For how long have we been podcasting for?
We podcasted her like 8 years. For like 3 years solid.
Oh yeah, like at the place. But since we started, it's been
it had
what?
To be what 2014, 2015?
Yeah, so that makes it about 7 years. No, wait, 9 years.
What year is it?
I don't know. Where are we?
It's 2023. So if I do the math correctly, Axel, 2023 minus 2015, that's 8, right?
7 plus 2 is 8.
That doesn't seem right either. But I think we're around 8.
The math doesn't check out, but it checks out.
Right, right. And that's my understanding of math. Right. And it's a good thing that I finished high school. Now I don't have to worry about it
as
much.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it quite as much.
I look at my checking account balance and I'm like, did I do the math right? No.
It's all subtraction.
The answer is no. The answer is I did not do the math right. It's going to be I have to find the dollar menu.
I'm glad to be here.
Uh-huh.
Are we talking about a video game?
We are going to talk about a video game.
I love video games.
Dude, you go back in my age to old school video games.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Do you have like a favorite? Do you have like strong video game memories coming up? Because I'm a Chrono Trigger boy.
Yeah.
Mega Man 3.
I have a lot of... like I started playing like on an Intellivision, so I got memories all the way back. I always talk about this game, The Night Stalker. It was a game where you walk through a little maze and a spider like chased you around this maze.
I know Kolchak the Night Stalker, the series.
No.
But that's not it.
Not the famous serial killer from the 80s.
Okay.
No.
Right. Oh, that's another one. Yeah.
That's another one.
Mm-hmm. I heard a podcast on that one.
I've been rekindling my love of Street Fighter lately.
Right.
I've been playing a lot of Street Fighter.
Speaking of the Blue Harvest boys, they got me into Street Fighter V.
Oh, really?
And I came at it with Inferior Kin, because I'm not happy with how my Ken looks because I haven't unlocked any of the outfits.
No one's happy with
and
how Ken looks.
And he's in like a weird like workout kind of.
He's got like a banana t-shirt. Hair.
Yeah, and it, like a top ponytail that's not quite working for him.
They did him right though in six though.
Even
in
though
six,
when I do legit. The ponytail, I feel like it works for me.
Yeah, Ken yeah, isn't.
It,
yeah,
it's not the best. And yeah. then they come at me with their Ken, and their Ken looks like way better because
oh,
they
yeah,
unlock
they
the
got
outfits,
all the costumes. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I don't like it, but I still do. Oh, you can.
I mean, it's a staple. It's a Ken staple.
That's my when people ask me my game strategy. What's your strategy? Oh, you can.
Oh, you can.
That's what I do. Yeah. Sometimes it goes through fireballs.
Sometimes it depends.
It used to.
If it's
it
on the
used
wake,
to.
If it's on the wake up and it's an EX version.
In Turbo
yes.
Edition, it went through.
In Turbo Edition, it did.
Through fireball
those were a
sometimes.
Lot different
I could
days.
Go. I could go hard on all you can on my Super Nintendo controller. You know, Killer Instinct. That was
yeah.
another good one.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of the. I like Final Fantasy VII a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a big time Final Fantasy guy. In fact, we'll get into this a little bit in the future, but I'm going to ask you some questions about open world.
Oh.
Whatever that means.
Oh.
So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, good times. Let's see. I'm going to bring up the notes now because I'm a professional podcaster. Oh, we're talking about Jedi Survivor.
Oh.
It's a good ass game.
I know something about that
game. That's a good ass game. Axel, you played the game.
Yeah.
You're far away from the mic. We
yes.
talked about this.
Yes.
We talked about how we had to, like, harmonize.
Yes.
Okay. Fan of Star Wars games?
No.
Lego Star Wars counts.
Yes.
Right on. Right on. Okay. Anyway, just real quick, I'm going to get to the business. You can check us out at theroguerebels.com. Go like our Facebook page. Please check us out on Instagram, TikTok, and Hive. At the Rogue Rebels, and we're on Twitter at Rogue Rebels Fan. Cause somebody been sleeping on the Rogue Rebels since like 2013. I'm not happy about it. They ain't even tweeted since like 2014.
That's how they make their fortunes, man. What, that's how they make their fortunes.
What it's about, man. Come on, you don't even check. I guarantee you don't.
Like I was looking for you guys, but all I saw was the Rogue Rebels.
Lizzie, who is not here with us. She's in New York not playing Star Wars games. She over here playing Overwatch or whatever. But they're over there doing their thing on Star Wars Geek Girls, so make sure you check out that podcast. I used to say, like, oh, they're like teenage girls playing, like, who love Star Wars. But
that doesn't fly anymore, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't, because they're, like, grown women.
Grown-ass women.
Yeah, they're grown-ass
women. Grown-ass
women
talking about Star Wars.
Talking about Star Wars, so now it's just a grown-ass women podcast.
Yeah.
We used to be a family Star Wars podcast. It still counts because he's under 18.
Right.
In about a year and a half, I'm going to have to change the tagline.
What's it going to be after?
I don't know. I'm going to give me some SEO.
Oh, I'll give you some
yeah,
SEO that
yeah,
tracks.
I'm going to get with you on that.
Some SEO that tracks.
Yeah. News. What's up with you?
Oh, news about me.
News about you. Just in
you
your
know,
life. It's been a minute.
You know, just doing things.
Doing things.
You know.
Stuffing things over
taking,
at the Sith list.
Taking shots.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing what hits, what
okay.
doesn't.
Okay.
That's the news over here. Yeah, mm-hmm. working with the Sith List guys, doing the YouTube channel,
good times.
Doing the podcast.
I like those guys.
They're good kids.
They're good times.
I like them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I mean, if
hey,
that's worth news
they know
worthy,
my kids.
Yeah.
We talked about this, man. My kids used to hang with them. For those who don't know, like, you know, they do some after school kind of stuff, programs that my kids just happen to be in the neighborhood for.
Mm-hmm.
So when we started, like, coming up and, like, meeting each other in the podcast world.
Right.
The Sith List guys were like, oh, your daughter was the one who brought the Clone Wars movie on DVD and Blu-ray for movie day. And I was
like,
yeah, that's right. I know that's right. That's right.
That's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I heard that. You learned about Ahsoka. That's right. That's what happened.
It's funny because like we've been kind of hanging out with the same like podcast people with for probably like the last like six years. I'm talking about like you and I, Raj,
yeah.
Les and all them.
I'll
and
check with Axel
every,
on the math, but yeah.
Every yeah, please do. But it's funny like that he's like also inside like their activities program. Like it's like incestuous, but in the cool freaking way that everyone's like kind of like
weird,
a fan. It's so
yeah.
cool. It's such a rare thing, especially for guys at our age.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
have that kind of crew that you're like, oh, those are my boys.
Yeah. And especially for me who's not from here.
Right.
Like I'm migrated here. As I guess a lot of people do.
Turn, yeah.
But, you know, like, I migrated here, and then it's good to have boys. It's good to have peeps that I can, like, count on. It's good to have peeps that I can get together with and get a non-basic-ass pizza on a Thursday mm-hmm. night and mm. fucking have a good time.
Goddamn right.
Talking to you, Les. You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's good times.
Zoom meetings. None.
Yeah.
As long as the Zooming goes.
It's not that I don't appreciate a good Zoom podcast, but when you're in person, man, it's just a different energy.
It really is.
And I honestly, dude, I miss it.
I miss it too.
It's been a long time since you and I podcasted in person. I've been jonesing to get you on the podcast for quite a while. And it's been a little bit of a thing, like, where I wanted to find something that you were, like, really into and energetic and ready to talk about it. And, like, I also podcast about a lot of books and comics.
Yeah. And the books and the comics thing, like, aside from a few audiobooks here and there, I usually don't get into them. Not mm-hmm, as mm-hmm. of recently, but video games, I'm always going to check out.
I might hit you with a few recommendations, but yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
But I get it.
I got some Audible tokens that need a spending.
Okay. We'll have a talk after this. I'm going to do the, like, we'll do the little, like, you know, the Star Wars quizzes that are like, what is your thing? Your father's Bail Organa. I'm going to do that with you, but then I'm going to recommend you a podcast.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm not going to become like a space alien, are you?
Yeah. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be like that, but I'm going to recommend you a book at the end. It's not going to be Catalyst because you already read that.
Yes.
Okay. We're here to talk about Jedi Survivor. Hey, Axel, you haven't talked in a minute. How you doing?
Reading.
You're far away.
You really just need to.
Reading.
You're reading the book as we're podcasting.
No.
Oh. Okay. But you're doing good. It's hot girl summer. You're off of school right now. So like, that's what they say, right? I saw it on Instagram.
I think that's.
Who's Instagram?
I don't know. They popped up in my feed though, and I shared a reel, I believe they're called.
Were you guys excited for the game prior to it coming out? What did you expect from it?
For sure, I was.
Yeah.
Huge fan of the first game. Really, really enjoyed it. Like, big fan of Jedi in this era. This whole, like, lost Jedi phase really is something that speaks to me.
Right.
Story of Cal Kestis and the story. I love the gameplay. I love the fun. I love the exploration. And I was not disappointed, I guess. That's my short.
I wasn't that excited, but that's because I was playing God of War Ragnarok, so I didn't have time for affection.
Okay. You're over here in affection. Norse mythology land, so you're like too
I forgo
busy.
Affection yeah. in the face of Ragnarok. Ragnarok is coming. No
Sir,
time for
it is
affection.
Prophesied. He has no time for this.
Gotta kill Heimdall.
Yeah, right. The first one was really awesome, man. Like, just like the gameplay, like that Dark Souls kind of gameplay, that little bit like risk reward kind of gameplay. I love that.
Right away, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, no, I'm just saying that it's not like it's not straightforward easy. Like, you can't just like run through it. You have to think about what you're doing.
Yes, exactly. Like, the thing that I really enjoy about Jedi Fallen Order / Jedi Survivor is the combat is very thought, like, it's very
methodical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to think about it. You can't just spam, press X to win game, which is a thing that I've done for years in Final Fantasy games and probably Star Wars games too.
Yeah.
If I want to talk about
Final Fantasy. Most Star Wars games are like that.
You know, and like the idea of being a Jedi is something that appeals to me because I don't know if you know anything about me. I like Jedi and swinging around plastic lightsabers on the daily.
Mm-hmm. And doing kickflips.
They're polycarbonate, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like so... This is a game that speaks to me. This is a game that I was excited for. I was excited to see the future after playing Jedi Fallen Order, which I totally 100%ed and I am the best Jedi ever. And I don't know. I just, I, out of all the Star Wars games that have been released since the big 2015 shakeup, relaunch, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, Jedi Fallen Order, I think, is my favorite. And now I think that has been reclaimed by this game.
Yeah, I would definitely put it either one of the Fallen Order games or the Jedi, whatever you want to call them, or the Squadrons game. The Squadrons game was fantastic. That was ridiculously good.
I really enjoyed Squadrons.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very difficult for me personally.
Right.
I feel like there's a big... learning curve? Question mark. Is that what it's called?
Sure.
It was hard for me.
Okay. Oh, now I get
it. But like I enjoyed it. I had fun. I love the story. Can I get a fucking Harrison Dula?
Yeah, there was a Harrison
Hell
Dula
yes.
in there.
There is a motherfucking Harrison Dula in that Shout game. Out. Vanessa Marshall. Give it up, everybody.
See you, Vanessa.
Really love that. And I love the story of Squadrons. I really enjoyed the gameplay, but also very difficult for me. In a different way.
Right.
In a different way than Jedi Fallen Order was. Because Fallen Order, I feel, is a thoughtful thing that I can kind of get behind and be like, I am anticipating your moves, and I'm a Jedi, and I am going to perfectly parry now, and now switch my stance or whatever to destroy you.
Yeah.
Whereas when I'm playing Squadron, sometimes I'm
left!
Like, there's two people behind me! I don't know what to do! I'm dead. Restart at last save point. Yes, please.
Ooh, but when you get past that threshold, then you're just like, you're...
But you also played in VR.
I played in VR with like a freaking seat and like actual like freaking.
So you got a setup, and that's
I was full on. I was trying to rebuild the arcade days. I was trying to make Aladdin's Castle happen.
Okay,
like at my house.
So let's talk about rebuilding the arcade days at Aladdin's Castle, because that's a pretty rad. I didn't play in VR, and I know you kept coming at me like, "Yo, dude, squad up, dude. It's a whole different experience." I don't think we got the opportunity to do so, but I do enjoy the game. I do like playing multiplayer. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I have an edge unless I'm able to like talk to people on speak, because I feel like for sure that like adds a whole different level. Like when you're playing, because I just play multiplayer and I just like do whatever and I'm like, well, we died. It sucks. Oh, well.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but when you're able to communicate like, hey, dude, they're coming up on me. Can you cover me? Like it adds a whole new level.
Band of brothers shit, man.
Bro, I can cover you. Yeah, I'm in an interceptor right now. I'll cover the shit out of you, bro.
Like, hey, homie, watch your six. Like,
watch your six, bro. I'm right behind you. Come out to the east, son.
But yeah, so I mean, that was the other game that I was excited for, but this game was awesome. It was a lot more of the same that you got with Fallen Order, but it was bigger. I don't want to say necessarily better, because there's some things about it that I don't think the story was as good.
Interesting.
I don't. There's a lot of things I'm not happy with on the story, but as far as like expanding on like the gameplay like stuff and the more expansive levels, I like that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I kind of wish that the team was together more throughout the story.
Okay.
Like having them all kind of separated and doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Like so much of what I like about the first game is the synergy of that team. Like they all had their own personalities. Yeah. Everyone fit like in a specific spot.
So I'm going to hit you with a little thing that you might want to spend an Audible credit on.
Oh, you're talking about
if you like the characters of the game, particularly Merit, which...
Marin's one of my
favorites. I'm just going to be transparent. That's my favorite character.
Marin is one of those characters.
In the book called Jedi Battle Scars. They basically say in the book, so far the chronology has not been so clearly defined. But in the book, they're like, it's been a couple of years that the crew's been running together. So in my mind, it's about halfway between Jedi Fallen Order, Jedi Survivor. I did a podcast on this. You guys might want to check it out. I think it's episode 164. But the book is called Jedi Battle Scars. It really focuses on Merin.
Tom was telling me about this, and I was thinking about checking
it out. It's a good book.
I got some Audible tokens. I'm not sure if I've told you about this, but I was thinking I might spend a few of them.
It's a good book that focuses on Merin and Cal. Fills the gap perfectly in between this, that you see the seeds into where things are going. So when you get to this game and you're like, oh,
why is everyone
Seer's doing their own thing and this person is over here and that person is over there? I see the seeds of like them all kind of deciding or figuring out that their goals or paths might be different.
Right.
Whereas in at the end of Jedi Fallen Order, you do see that they're all like, where are we going next?
Yeah.
And that they're all together. So having read that, like the game was delayed and the book was not. So as a fan, I was kind of like, fucking right on.
He's like, dude, more space to enjoy this thing.
And then I also got an advanced copy to read. Thank you, Del Rey. I was also like, I got to read the book before, which chronologically like makes sense in my head. So when I like translate things, I'm like, I was prepared for the game. So when the crew was separated in the game, I was very much like, I understand.
Yeah, no, I understood it. I was just kind of, the whole time I was playing, I was waiting for them to all get back together at some point. And it never happened in full force. So that was
okay.
It was kind of disappointing because I liked the dynamic of
those people. Yeah, the crew and the energy that they bring, I do enjoy. And there's also a big, there's a big space that they all fill.
Yeah.
Like with each other. Like
they all play off of each other.
Yeah. Like the dynamic that they all touch. And the characters I really, really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, in the book, I, for one, am a person that really likes Marin.
As a person.
Marin, I like Marin a lot. And the book, she's my favorite character in that book.
Right.
So in the game, we're like in the Jedi Fallen Order, you'll be like, oh, like she's very cool, but she only like shows up in the last half of the game.
Yeah.
And then in this game, you'll also get like a little bit of that relationship, but you like she's still not a main character. I feel like in the book, she's a main character.
Fair enough.
So like if you really like want more from that character and want to understand, like books dive into characters in a different way.
Right. Oh, that's kind of what makes Marin cool in these games is that they never give you too much of her, so she always has a certain degree of mystique, and you're always kind of interested by the fact of the stuff you don't know about her. And she has an interesting background being like one of like the few Sith witches or only Sith witch left.
Night sister
or whatever you want to call them.
That's what I call them.
That's probably what they're called.
Be
honestly.
Respectful, sir.
I lack the knowledge to be respectful.
Dathomirian Night Sister.
Of course, now it makes sense. That being said, like I didn't much as care for the story, but I do like a lot of the plot points, the things that happen throughout. Like, mm-hmm. What's her face fighting Vader? That's freaking awesome. That's one of the better parts of the game. I love when they do that in a game, like where you play as a different character and you know the stakes aren't as high because, like, have fun with this for a little bit.
Yeah.
And they do that for a bit. I enjoy that.
I think that fight made me hate books for a while.
What do you mean?
We're going to move to spoilers now. Go ahead.
During the fight, he throws books at you.
And so it made you hate the books?
Yeah, that's what will always kill me.
I mean, I would hate the Force, not the books. I think the books were just a path, just a means to an end.
This motherfucker's like, let the Force be free.
I'm sorry, is that considered spoilery?
I guess we're going to move into spoilers now, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run through a little, like, synopsis summary of the game real quick for those people that may have not played the game, and then we'll go full spoilers. But, like, just real quickly, let's talk about the gameplay of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the thoughtfulness and the methodicalness that you have to put into the combat of Cal Kestis, of running through. I love the way they expanded the cosmetics.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
I've been having a lot of fun with that. I don't know if you guys catch me out on Twitch on Cobra Cal, but you know I'm out there with a headband.
Right. I feel the same way. Yeah, the aesthetic stuff is very. And I usually try to play these games on PC, so I have the option to tweak it even like further beyond like what's actually in the game. Because modders are fucking crazy.
I don't know what that means, but I'm listening.
They made like I was playing like as Darth Maul for a little while. Okay. Like they have like so many just like crazy mods and they're like legit mods. Like this person put some work into it.
Randy was like, at last we shall have our revenge.
Yeah, I think it might have had that audio in there too. The stances.
That was my Darth Maul. Hire me, Lucasfilm.
The stances, I think, were a cool gameplay addition.
The stances.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just going to say, as I feel like I can claim this as a founding member of the lightsaber and blaster costuming community.
Right, of course.
I had really dug the lightsaber / blaster stance.
Yeah. I think that was my favorite gameplay stance.
But I'm going to say when I'm playing the game and when I like defaulted to like what I felt was cheap mode, I would go to double bladed.
Oh, when I went to cheap mode, I would go to lightsaber and blaster. Because because it has that one shot that stuns anyone in the middle of their animation.
Like,
I'm fighting like Ogdo. I'm just like,
I couldn't master it.
Oh,
but I was on double saber. I could reflect every one of their shots.
Oh yeah, the reflecting. Yeah.
The reflecting, like, so every time I had a problem with a boss, I kept defaulting to double saber, and I felt so cheap. I felt so dirty.
Oh, I felt dirty as hell with the lightsaber and the gun. But I was like, This is but what this world's brought me to.
Lightsaber was, and the gun was the stuff. And then I kept getting, I got into these little, like, now that I'm messing with my cosmetics, I'm going into my, like, my faux canon. So I get, like, slick backed hair, and, like, this top is green and brown. And, like, I would switch my stance to lightsaber blaster and single saber. Because in theory, that's what he uses, right? Okay, Axel is showing us pictures now. I don't know if I've described this to you, but Axel set his cosmetics to Ted Lasso. His Cal Kestis has a cool little haircut, with a mustache, a blue shirt, and tan pants.
Yeah, no, that was intended. They wanted I've to been make enjoying Ted that. Lasso
And then
line.
When you go through the cutscenes, it's Ted Lasso.
Yeah, it's still the same one. I ended up going a lot with like Luke kind of like a, I'll say Jedi Luke or... Metal Luke.
Yeah, yeah. So at first I was defaulting to like, hey, it's Jedha. I heard it's cold here. I'm going to put on some long sleeves.
Oh, you were.
And then I was like, oh, it's Kobo. It looks warm. This is where I'm going to rock my tank top.
Right. You can't be. Yeah.
And then I just like messing around with all kinds. And I go with a mullet and I go with short hair and I go with this. And now I'm just like looking for looks. Like, so now I'm shooting for my, like, this is my Kanan season 3 style. I'm full beard. My shirt is green/brown, and I got gray pants. So check out RogueRebels.com, TheRogueRebels.com, because I might start throwing up my looks on, you know.
Sizzle.
You know what I'm talking about. Sizzle. Hashtag sizzle.
But yeah, I think the gameplay was, it was definitely probably... Definitely the biggest like improvement.
I really enjoyed it, and I love the like I love the thoughtfulness of it, because when I play it, it makes me feel like a Jedi.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel like I think people for me at least, the last thing that I go back to is I always go back to Force Unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I play Force Unleashed, I feel like press X to win game.
Yeah.
And you just And it doesn't feel like anything. And I feel like even as advanced, or I've beat the game already, and I still go back to places where I'm like, oh, I'm going to parry here. And then I'm going to counter with my like super cool shot. And then, you know, like, so no matter where you are and no matter how advanced you are, you still have to put some thought into your thing, which I feel is a very Jedi energy.
Well, yeah, that's the cool thing about those games is if you have the knowledge, you can go in there without the stats. Like, you can go in and beat the game without ever leveling if you have the knowledge.
If you're dope.
Yeah, you have to be. You have to really, like, know what you're doing.
You have to be dope.
It's possible. Whereas, like, with, like, most games, you have to have the stats. Like,
right.
Like an RPG
like,
kind of,
and
like,
I come from a very, like, RPG kind of, like, background of, like, press X to win game once I'm level 99 in Final Fantasy
VI.
Yeah,
actively... like working to make the game
and
easier
Sabin
for yourself.
And Sabin can bum rush everybody to death.
Who is that character?
Sabin is really cool. He's actually a martial artist.
Sabin. I thought you were doing a Star Wars thing at first. You mispronounced
it. No, it was a Final Fantasy thing. But you have to input the his special moves.
Uh-huh.
You have to input his. He has suplex. He has bum rush. Bum rush is the ultimate move.
Wait a minute, Sabin. Which one was that from?
Sabin Figaro, Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, that's.
Did you play Final Fantasy VI?
VI. Is that six or is that real six or
okay,
is that like
so
American
in America,
three?
It was Final Fantasy III.
Okay.
But really, it's Final Fantasy VI. I know. It's a weird thing. But Sabin, there's two twin brothers, Edgar and Sabin Figaro, and they flip a coin to see who's going to fucking, when their father dies, they flip a coin to see who's going to fucking inherit the kingdom.
And seems like a disrespectful.
Sabin. Doesn't
to
want
his memory.
He wants to go and do his own thing. He's such a free spirit that he wants
but
to like
you know it's gonna happen
live
to him.
His life.
It's gonna happen.
So
to
Edgar
him.
Says, you know what? Let's flip a coin. Heads or heads, you go and follow your dream. Tails, we both have to like follow father's footsteps. And he flips a coin. But the thing about the coin and Figaro is it's both of the twins. Edgar's on one side, Sabin's on the other side. So either way, it's heads, and Sabin gets to follow his dream. And Edgar takes the fucking kingdom.
Dude, I'm not trying to cry on your podcast, but that's beautiful.
Dude, I love Final Fantasy VI. Dude, I don't know if I've told you. It's my favorite fucking Final
Fantasy.
That's
beautiful. That's really beautiful.
I love it. Okay.
But yeah, the Star Wars game. Tell me about the Star Wars game.
Okay.
How many coins do we flip in Star Wars?
We don't flip very many. their credits.
Crossguard seems like the worst, but it is the best because it allows you to turn your brain off.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
To be fair, I didn't level any crossguard shit until like just now. I was like, you know what? I should mess with crossguard.
Yeah. I leveled all of them, but I never messed with crossguard.
It is so
it's
broken.
So slow.
It's kind of like, I don't want
it's so slow.
I'm not trying to play with this.
It's so slow.
No, I think I did. I always did the blade and I think single saber.
Calicastus is on a mission for Saw Gerrera.
Yes, that's true.
Nobody survives except Cal and Bode. They escape. They make their way to Kobo. Where they find, where they repair the ship, they find Grease to repair the ship.
Yep.
They do that thing, but they also uncover an ancient High Republic droid, which leads them to uncovering a High Republic person who they defrost. His name is Dagan Gera, and he's a High Republic Jedi with one arm who, it turns out, like, was trying to find this way to the secret land called Tantalor, which was hidden in the Kobo Abyss, which is this place which you can't, like, find unless you have this perfect, like, way to uncover it. And then, like, you uncover him. He is not happy about this. He's not happy with the state of the galaxy. There's a whole lot of things going on. And throughout the, you and Bode are starting to go after Dagan Gera and figure out what's going on with Tantalor, because Cal thinks that this might be a great way to hide people to fight back against the Empire.
Right, yeah. Like, because a safe, place, like, refuge.
For a refuge that you can only access in a certain way.
Yeah. Can we just say, that character is the worst.
Talking about Dagan Gera?
Yeah. He is the absolute most milquetoast-ass boring character in the world.
I want to hear from my High Republic people how many people are like, because here's the point in the game where I was like, we're talking High Republic! Let's get into it!
If this is what represents the High Republic, it does not speak well for the High Republic. That guy was so boring, so anime, dude.
You were, like, not taken in by my one-armed homie.
Dude, that guy, his modus operandi, the reason he exists, is so boring, okay. Dude.
Okay. After one quarter of the game, I just stopped caring about that place.
Okay. You're on Randy's side. Okay.
Tantalor.
Yeah, I'm going to keep
I just
that
stopped
that
caring about it.
Noted.
Explain to me why it's interesting. Like, seen that story told a million times.
So,
why is it interesting now?
I'm just going to keep rolling through the thing. Dagan Gera decides that Tantalor is still the refuge, but he's upset with how the fucking galaxy has gone in the last 150 years. Because he's like, how could you let the Jedi fall to this empire that's so inferior? And he's right. But, like, and what ends up happening is Bode is a double agent for the Empire, which breaks my fucking heart.
That part's great.
The story got interesting.
Yeah,
and then we have to go to Tantalor because Bode thinks that it's a safe place to hide it and save his family.
But not only did he backstab him, but he's also a Jedi.
Yeah, but
he is.
That's a big... That was the reveal that got me. Like, I expected him to be a traitor.
Really?
But, yes. But I did, because there was so much foreshadowing, I think, here and there. Like, the fact that they were introducing this guy at the very beginning, that these two were buddies, like, out of nowhere. Like, they were trying to establish a relationship to be broken at the very beginning. But I did not expect him to be a Jedi.
Okay.
That's just meme.
But it just doesn't make sense. Isn't Tantalor a freaking planet? Can't everybody fit?
Yes. A question mark. And then also...
Yeah, it's
like,
not so much.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Limitation of
you
space.
Can only get to it through a certain way, though.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing. More that, like, it's not that it's a planet and you can have it all to yourself. It's more that it's like
they can't be found.
They can't be found.
Yeah, but
And it's I think okay, so he's getting to the meat of what the real story is like, Bo ends up throwing everybody under the fucking bus because he wants to protect his daughter, mm-hmm. which, as a parent, I understand.
Yeah, no, makes
but sense. Also, like, his thing is that, like, the more people that come into it, no, sir. No,
doesn't
sir.
Matter.
No, sir. The more people that come into it,
the more it likely.
The bigger risk to his family.
Yeah, the bigger risk that someone's going to expose it and make
I
it
understand
vulnerable.
That.
Yeah.
But. We have to fucking
but
take
at the
care
same
of.
At the same like I understand the guy's plight, but at the same point he was starting from a point where there was nothing. He had no answers.
Absolutely.
And now he's being ridiculously stingy with the one answer that presented itself due to no action of his own.
Exactly. But as a parent, I understand his like his like so the thing ends up that you end up facing Bode on Tantalor. Where he's trying to hide his family.
Right.
Because that's like, in the end, what Bode is trying to protect is his family. And I understand that. Like, I get it.
What's left of his family.
What's left of his family. His daughter.
Yeah.
Like, I do get it. There are so many parts where I sympathize with Bode. And then there are so many parts where I, like, am like, no, you could have just done this. You could have, like, come with us.
Well, yeah, that's the big, like, you don't, like, it's obvious. They set it up in such a way that it's impossible not to sympathize for his plight. Like, he didn't ask for this. He's just trying to survive among all these circumstances. But then when the opportunity is presented where he can live with his daughter, like, the circumstances he's fighting against aren't going to change whether he lives or dies.
Yeah.
Like, if you want your daughter to be there, these people are also going to be there.
Right.
So, but, do you want to be there or not?
Yeah, but that's his thing. Like, in my mind, at least, the his idea, at least, is that, like, if the hidden path is here,
right.
then it's going to make it more dangerous. The Emperor is going to be hunting them, and they're going to come after us, and my daughter will be in danger.
The way I interpret it in the best case scenario is that deep down, like, towards the end of the game, he's all, so you want to stay here. You think you can protect my daughter? And he's asking Cal seriously. He's like, you think you can? And I think deep down he knows that Cal will when it comes down to it. He's not going to betray that. But he knows if he's there at the same time Cal is there, he will monkey wrench that in some way because of his own insecurities about the situation. So it's best off that he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way I think you can explain the situation of him essentially throwing himself.
I like the character. I like the – like his ideology makes sense to me. And I guess I understand it more as a parent. You do whatever you think you can to protect your children to whatever degree you can. But also, he throws so many fucking people under the bus.
Yeah. It's like, it's to the degree of, like, illogical. It's like, dude, I understand, like, you'd do anything. But at a certain point, like, come on, bud. Like, all these people had your back. They would have gladly helped you in your
life. Exactly. Exactly. But he makes the wrong choices, and by the end of the game, I'm like, I have to kill you. I do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, after he does that dash kick
you cannot
thing,
be
like,
allowed
he can't
to
come
survive.
Back from the dash kick.
I'm sorry.
That shit is a pain in the ass.
Marin, will you please strike from the shadows?
Please.
Please. I was too close to the mic.
Yeah, not too far, not too close. Just somewhere in the middle.
You end up, like, you've got to take him down. Mm-hmm. You take him down at Tantalor. And that's pretty much the end
of
the game.
But there's so
right?
much more that happens.
I don't, like, putting it down on paper for you listeners, like, it doesn't do justice to the game that is.
Can I just throw a few things at you?
Please.
Turgle.
I'm a fan.
I fucking hate him.
Wow!
I hate him. I think he is wrong. He's everything that's wrong with Star Wars. You Tell throw some more. Character who's slightly cute and has a quirky personality, people lose their shit, whether it's good or bad. If the show was based on him, they would hate it. But since he's some ancillary character, everyone's like, oh my God, Turgle. It's like, dude, get some personality. Gee, have some standards.
Listen, I'll take him. Listen, I'll take him. Like, as I play through the game, I enjoy him. I love him for what he is. But you're absolutely right.
I'm Turgle. I'm a frog. Like, dude, we get it. If we there get was, it. You're a frog.
If there was
you're annoying. We get it.
If there was a 22-episode series on his character, you're right. I probably would tune out after about 8 episodes.
Right. But that being said, Scuba Stev,
best character ever put in Star Wars.
Scuba Stev!
Scuba Stev.
Axel, do you have anything to say?
Zepho.
Zepho. Okay.
That's
Zepho
a reference to game one.
Listening to Cyanide while sliding around and just killing stormtroopers.
He likes to put his own, like, because you can plug in Spotify to the game. Mm-hmm. So he's like, Suicide, Cyanide.
Oh, yeah, that's not canon. Canon.
Metallica's not canon. I'm sorry. I know. I love Metallica. It's just, I love
feels
New
so
State.
Good
you
to
know
like
how I
slide
roll.
While you're listening to that. Like, the doo 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 doo.
I don't know if the listener's necessarily going to relate to that. Maybe a very, very small vertical slice of them might.
I've talked about vertical slice. I've talked about how when I played Fallen Order, I dealt with a lot more glitches, and I know there's a lot of people that are dealing with Jedi Survivor glitches.
Yeah.
I haven't had any of that, and I'm so glad. I think the game froze once or twice, maybe on me and on you. Yeah. But other than that, we've been able to get through it pretty fucking free.
I don't want to disrespect Scuba Stev because by moving into this transition, but yeah, I play on PC. So I'm trying to, like, optimize and get, like, the most out of the game from the jump. And from the jump, this game was pretty bad as far as optimization. So I had a lot of... It's just an inconsistent frame rate more than anything.
Oh, okay.
But if we can go back to Scuba Stev. Scuba Stev's amazing. Did you listen to all of the story?
I don't know if I've listened to all of it, but I've gone through quite a bit.
With that said, where do you think it goes next?
I have no idea.
You
I don't
have
know.
Any ideas. I think they've laid enough, as you like to put it, seeds to where the story potentially can go. Like
there's definitely ideas and connecting
enough dark side seeds.
Connecting it to the hidden path, mm-hmm. I think, is a huge thing, especially for me, a huge Quinlan Voss fan, who is big on that kind of thing.
Yeah, it seems like they're kind of playing with the idea of him, like, really being. I mean, they made it a gameplay element, to have him, like, embrace.
So,
like, that side of himself.
What the dark side, exactly? The dark side thing.
Okay.
When the first dark side thing comes up,
mm-hmm.
I didn't like it. I didn't do it.
Yeah, I
neither. And neither did Haas. Oh, so yeah. You too.
No, I didn't do it.
Because Haas streamed it, and I was watching him, and he was like, no, I'm not going to give it into the dark side.
No, this isn't my
and
character.
I was like, me too. And then we died. And then we were like, oh, the game makes
you. Oh, you need to do it.
You have to give it into the dark side. Axel? You gave him to the dark side right away. You were like, fuck it, let's kill this guy.
Dude, it's Spartan Rage. Have you ever played God of War?
No, it's not. Well, apparently. It is Spartan Rage, right.
Do you want to be a Spartan or not?
No.
Apparently not.
No. This is Sparta.
This is Sparta!
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that they... I come from, like, the Knights of the Old Republic, like, era of playing video games where I had the choice whether I wanted to go down that path or not. So when given the option, I don't want to go down that path because eventually it's going, like, in every game I've ever played, when you pick the bad side, it's the quicker route with the worst outcome.
But it's the very George Lucas, like, philosophy
things. It's quick and easy.
Yeah.
It's like the quick and easy. Whereas, and like, doing the good thing is always difficult, like, but in the end, more rewarding.
Because that's what Yoda said. Because, like, he did it right away. I was watching him play because he came to that part after I did.
Summer school, bro.
But literally,
I'm telling you, bro.
Bro,
that's the summer school mentality, bro.
Check out.
You got to knock out those classes. Do well next semester, bro.
Check out Rogue Rebels on Twitch if you want to see me not giving into the dark side and dying. Because that's what happened. I was like, no, I'm not going to give into the dark side. And then I watched Haas' stream over at Blue Harvest Pod, if you guys want to check that out. He also didn't give into the dark side and fucking died. And I was like, we're not allowed to be okay.
Let's see what Haas is doing right now.
He's probably playing Street Fighter 6.
He probably is, or he's playing Diablo. But I do want to get him on the line just to... Let's see. It's not a podcast with us unless we call someone in the middle of it.
That's fair. We used to call it Grosso in the middle of the night.
Let's see.
And by the middle of the night, I mean 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, yeah, no, it was like way late. Like, no, he had no business answering it.
It was dumb.
Or at least if he did answer, he had no business answering happy.
No, absolutely. We were being offensively rude. And that was on us.
But that's okay. Yeah. That's okay.
But he picked up the phone, so fuck it, right?
Let's see
what
he says.
This is a family podcast.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Nah, doing all right. Sal and I are podcasting right now, talking about Jedi Survivor. We figured we'd give you a call.
Oh, nice. What y'all talking about? Just the game in general?
Yeah, game in general. Right now, I think we were talking about our thoughts on Turgle. What do you think about Turgle?
Oh, Turgle's my dude.
I kind of thought so.
My name's Turgle, and I'm a frog. Let me ask you guys something. Did you two fellas finish the bounties?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, then never mind. Because I just finished it.
I don't want to ruin it for Sal.
Yeah.
I know what happens, I think.
Oh, you know what happens? What happens?
I've heard there's a Boba Fett cameo.
Oh, yeah, there is, baby.
Oh, yeah, there is. It is pretty good, huh?
Dude, hold up. I'm going to send you so it's already been clipped from my stream, me finding out, because I had no idea.
You didn't know about this?
Wow.
How have you, avoided this for so long?
He did good. My boy.
Buddy, I don't know how. I don't know how I didn't know, but it got clipped when I discovered it.
He's got good friends.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's good.
I know you're sending that clip, but if you could give us just like your overall thoughts on the game, just so we can get you your thoughts on this podcast.
Yes, please.
Oh, I thought it was awesome. All bits aside, I thought it was really impressive that the team took the framework of the first game, all the systems and everything involved, and literally improved on every single aspect.
Not at all. None.
Keep going. You're doing great. You're the only one who's not drunk.
Fireball free review. So.
I really liked to see, that kind of care put into the sequel. Technical issues aside, those were kind of a bummer. Granted, I was playing on console, so most of them didn't affect me except for the bug where you couldn't finish the bounties,
which right.
They literally just fixed today. So, I really liked it. I don't know if it was intentionally, the first one was intentionally written to feel kind of desolate and lonely, but so much more alive.
Definitely. I think it's more of a matter of the amount of time they had and budget.
Because you can tell, not the first game felt low budget by any means.
Scope-wise, you could tell that there was, certain things, not that they were mandated not to be able to do, but there's only so much they could do within the given amount of time.
I think that was a really good move.
I've been kicking myself in the ass for not bringing this up in all our Street Fighter matches, but, dude... Can we talk about Star Wars Outlaw?
Oh, dude, I'm
give it to me.
I'll tell both of you fellas right now, that's just going to get delayed. I'd be very surprised if it comes out next year.
If it doesn't get delayed, it is not coming out the way they showed it.
No. Well, see, that's the thing, man. The same studio, Massive Entertainment, they're about to ship their Avatar game in December. So, clearly they're going to be, allocating resources to finishing that up. And then you got to imagine that once they get that into the state they want it to be in before they ship it, that's when the whole, everybody will move over to Star Wars.
Right.
I don't know.
Sal wants to say something here.
I'm just saying, delayed or not, the fucking gameplay looks dope.
No, it looks awesome, but it definitely has that Ubisoft stink of we're giving you the best case scenario.
You guys are so much further into this than me.
No, I know Ubisoft, and they will show you something that is light years beyond what they're able to deliver.
I'll take that.
All you gotta do is go back to the year of our Lord 2012 when they showed off the first Witch Dogs.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, look, everybody, it's the first next-gen game.
And they still can't make that game. To this day, they still can't make that game.
Different studio within Ubisoft. hope it's awesome.
Dude, I want, like, back in the day, you and I had talked about, like SSDs, like, fast, like, writing, like, hard drives that would allow you to, like, do, like, amazing shit. And I always wanted, like, a Superman game where you could fly into space, like, quickly, and it would load from the hard drive really quick. They've done this in this game by allowing you to go to space, like, instantly from your ship.
Yeah.
That shit, dude, like, it hits me. Like, I'm like, oh.
You're there.
Like, that's something I haven't done in a game. I want to do that.
It's that shot in Solo where he backs up shooting up the ramp and he's still on the Falcon.
Kind of.
There's that part in Solo where I'm like, oh, they built the Falcon floor and the Falcon on the same set.
Right.
That's dope to me.
I'll say this, like, you know, as someone who has not been disappointed with the EA Star Wars games, like, I think they're all pretty quality.
There hasn't been a bad game.
No, there hasn't been a bad one yet, but them not being the exclusive rights owners is only going to be a net positive for Star Wars video game fans.
I'm waiting for Star Wars Hunters!
Well...
I mean, as long as people, like, I just don't want to, I just hope that Ubisoft isn't doing their thing with that game, because that game looks fantastic.
The trailer,
like, way better than it has any business to look.
It makes me a little nervous, mainly because of the release date, and, like, I don't know, man. And I'll say this, like, the other thing we all have to be prepared for is now that the floodgates are open and they're licensing Star Wars video games to whoever can pay that fee, there's going to be some bad games.
Star Wars, you know? Puzzle Fighter coming.
Hey, I love you, Haas.
Star Wars Cookie Clicker.
Yeah, Cookie Clicker is coming, dude. Be ready for fucking Star Wars Cookie Clicker.
How much money do I got to fork over to Lucasfilm Games to start my fucking Star Wars waifu simulator, huh?
Oh, shit. He ain't wrong. All right, brother.
Okay, he's playing too much Street Fighter 6.
All right, man. We wanted to get your heads out. Oh, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about it.
I love
it,
you. I miss you. Yeah, I want some more of you.
Enjoy the podcast. I love you guys. We'll talk soon.
Love you too, man. Take it easy.
Bye.
Good man.
Good times.
Good man.
That's one of my favorite homies.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the favorite homies.
Okay.
I don't.
Go ahead. Speak your truth, son.
You don't like him that much?
No, I don't like the feel of this new game.
You don't like it? What? Why don't you like it?
Survivor? What are you talking about here?
Outlaw?
Outlaws.
Why?
Oh, Outlaws. Okay.
Why specifically?
Because they're like people. Like, I agree with most people when we say we already have a fantastic open world game, and it's Lego Star Wars.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you a question.
That's not an open world game.
Yes, it is.
No, that's a hub world game.
Hold on.
No, you can go to fucking argue with me on this shit, dude.
You can go to any hub world game.
Give me 1 second.
It's literally bigger than Jedi Survivor. Like,
that's a hub world game.
Give me 1 second. They keep talking about how this is the first Star Wars open world game.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck does that mean?
I think they're trying to. What I think they're trying to tell you is a seamless transition between spots with open decisions between what you do in a world, whereas you take Lego Star Wars,
you can fly your ship as you get to your next planet.
No, you can also go into a menu that lets you decide what movie you want to play. That's not open world. That no longer is open world. That becomes a hub. Trust me.
What does no longer open world mean?
I just told you. There's a hub. There's a menu within where you select which world you want to go to. I don't know what Assassin...
You mean a video game?
No.
You mean a regular video game?
Please, don't reduce what I'm saying down to simply video game, sir. Sir.
V-I-D-G-A.
A vidja. V-I-D-J-A. Vidja game. That is not open world. Yeah, you have a set of vignettes that you are selecting between and you are able to play within those vignettes. That's what you're talking about. An open world game has a seamless world where you never decide where you're going. You just go there.
That makes more sense.
Okay.
God of War isn't an open world game?
No, not even close.
Randy.
My name is Randy. You can find me on youtube.com/thesithlist, where I do reactions to a lot of shows that we're watching. You can also find me on twitch.tv/cursinguser, where I play video games.
Axel, as a video game player, did you have fun with Jedi Survivor?
I did have fun. As a video game person, I loved it very much. I think it was very nice. It was very cool.
I love you guys. Have a great night.